Good morning. May it please the court, Barton Day for petitioners. I've reserved 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. We'll see if we can hold to that. The question presented in this case is whether the Department of Energy's regulations with respect to decorative hearth products were lawfully adopted. Petitioners contend that the DOE regulated decorative hearth products in complete disregard of express statutory provisions that detail both the scope of its regulatory authority and the manner in which its authority may be exercised under the Energy Policy and Conservation Act. Specifically, DOE used a regulatory definition to add decorative hearth products to a statutory category of products called direct heating equipment that doesn't include them. By doing so, DOE asserted jurisdiction over these products without compliance with an express statutory procedure by which it can assert jurisdiction over products that are not subject to regulatory authority by terms of the statute itself.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
I don't understand without duct connections. How does the gas get into these heaters?
I'm sorry, is the question how does the act?
How does the gas get into these heaters? It has to be without duct connections, and I just don't understand that.
Oh, actually, the duct connection issue is mechanics, and it concerns both the...
I realize that. I just want to get in my...
Yeah, no, I understand. The duct connection issue has to deal with where the oxygen for combustion is coming from,
right.
Okay, air in, and where the gases from combustion exit,
right.
So air out. And when we're talking about vented units, we're talking typically about units that are designed to vent the combustion gases outdoors. Okay, there is a category of products called vent-free, and they're not at issue in this case. But they're analogous to a stovetop burner, where the products of combustion aren't vented out of the house; they just are in the room.
Like a gas stove, in other words,
exactly.
A burner with a blue flame.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Having asserted jurisdiction over these products in the manner that it did, DOE then subjected them to heating efficiency standards without following either procedure or providing justification expressly required by law. Now, DOE didn't take these actions because it thought that heating efficiency standards are appropriate for decorative hearth products.
I want to get the sequence down before you go on.
Certainly.
There's the notice of proposed rulemaking for the 2010 rule.
Correct.
In that notice, was there any mention of decorative fireplaces?
No.
No.
Well, there was only indirect mention in that there were comments that were made expressing the concern that if DOE adopted very high energy efficiency standards for fireplace heaters, which are the category of products that are actually designed as heaters, that could cause some consumers to say, the heck with getting a heater, I'll just get a decorative product. And in responding to that, DOE recognized that and said that decorative products are not covered by the rulemaking.
And then the final rule comes out. And on the face of it, if you look at the final rule, it's not clear by a long shot. As a matter of fact, it seems not to cover, I'm talking about 2010, not to cover decorative fireplaces, because it says that is designed to furnish warm air, and I don't think decorative, they're designed to furnish a little flame, so you have the ambiance of a fireplace. But in the final rule, did DOE say that we interpret our new rule to cover decorative fireplaces?
Absolutely, yeah. And what. You fastened on exactly the right language, Your Honor, because the design to furnish warm air language had up till that point been understood to refer to products that are designed to heat.
Yeah.
And in the final rule, DOE announced that it was interpreting that language to include products, whether they're designed to produce heat or not, and in fact, essentially went to the point of saying, if a product has a flame, then ipsy-dixit, it generates heat, and that makes it direct heating equipment.
So under their, if your understanding of DOEs, and they can speak for themselves, is that under their theory, a match is designed to produce heat.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. As I was indicating, DOE didn't take the actions that it did because it thought these products were appropriately regulated through through heating efficiency standards. It did so that it could use the heating efficiency standards as a means to coerce compliance with alternative regulatory requirements that it imposed in the form of conditions for exclusion from the heating efficiency standards. The alternative requirements that it imposed included design standards that under EPCA are not authorized for direct heating equipment, and DOE imposed those alternative standards without even attempting to justify them as standards. DOE has made the argument in effect that its heating efficiency standards are somehow not subject to review, and that the alternative requirements aren't requirements at all. But the fact remains, manufacturers of decorative fireplaces face a rule that gives them two choices. They can comply with the heating efficiency standards, or they can comply with alternative requirements that now include a ban on standing pilot lights. The fact remains also that DOE imposed both of those requirements without ever having justified either one of them as EPCA requires. I'd like to discuss three independently sufficient reasons why this court should vacate this entire rule structure for decorative hearth products. The first is that DOE never asserted jurisdiction over these products properly in the first place. EPCA is quite clear. The statute identifies a number of categories of covered products that are subject to regulation by statute, and it does authorize DOE to regulate additional categories of products, but only if it follows specified statutory procedures and makes required findings to justify doing so.
That's that subdivision B, that subsection B?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And there's also a completely separate route for promulgation of standards. They would operate under section L rather than subsection O of section 6295. So a different process entirely. having this statutory scheme that we have, the first point is that there's no dispute about the fact that the statute did not regulate decorative hearth products as direct heating equipment. Your Honor?
This decorative fireplaces, you're saying, were not in the initial listing of covered products.
That's correct, right? Your Honor.
DOE could have expanded its jurisdiction to them under subdivision B?
Yes, DOE could have sought to regulate these products by following the procedures under section B to identify these products as a new category of regulated products.
So do you have any way of knowing whether, in fact, some or all of these products could have been brought within their jurisdiction under that?
Well, they never attempted to do so, and so there's no, you know, there's no information with respect to the findings they would have needed to make, etc. So we've got a scheme where you're regulated by statute, or DOE has a separate route to regulate you by rule. DOE did neither one. Instead, it just used the expedient of a regulatory definition to take this new category of products and graft it on to the existing statutory category of direct heating equipment. Now, under Michigan versus EPA and other authorities cited in our brief, it's clear that agencies can't circumvent express statutory constraints on their regulatory authority. And yet, DOE used a simple regulatory definition rather than the statutory process for regulating this new category of products. I think this is sufficient reason by itself for the court to vacate this entire rule structure for decorative hearth products. The second issue that I'd like to address is the heating efficiency standards themselves. DOE's rule structure is very clear as described in their final rule preambles. If manufacturers of decorative fireplaces want to continue in business, they have two choices: comply with the heating efficiency standards or comply with the alternative requirements imposed as conditions for exclusion from the standards. So absent the heating efficiency standards, these manufacturers would face no compliance obligations at all. The obvious issue here is that under EPCA, DOE can only impose energy conservation standards that it's justified as being technologically feasible and economically justified. And it's undisputed that it has never even attempted to justify heating efficiency standards for decorative products as technologically feasible or economically justified. Instead, DOE operated on the premise that it could impose substantive regulation without any of the justification or process required by statute through a simple definitional expansion of the category of products subject to standards. In effect, DOE proceeded on the premise that it can justify heating efficiency standards for one category of products and then use a simple definitional change to subject a whole different category of products to the same standards.
You have referenced both design standards and heating efficiency standards. Is that the same, or are those?
No, heating efficiency standards, Your Honor, are performance standards, and design standards are things such as a ban on standing pilot lights or a maximum energy input limit, where it's simply a sort of a design spec one must meet.
And is it your position that DOE has to show that it's technologically feasible, and they can't because if you take away the standing pilot light or other continuously burning ignition source, you're going to have to redesign the whole thing, or can you even do that?
Well, that's a whole different issue, Your Honor. With respect to the heating efficiency standards, they never looked at technological feasibility or economic justification for decorative hearth products. They simply, having proposed the standards and offered a justification for fireplace heater products, which are certified as heating appliances and sold on the basis that they're tested with in accordance with DOE's procedure for heating appliances, and then it just took that justification with no change to the final rule and swept in an entire additional category of, products without an
analysis. I'm baffled, and this is, I guess, just an observation as opposed to a question, so that though it's out there, and maybe, and DOE, I hope, addresses it, about why they would prohibit, in a way, standing pilot lights for decorative fireplaces, but not for heating. Not for fireplaces designed to heat. I mean, I can understand maybe the theory that, well, if you have a pilot light, it uses up natural gas. Of course, we have 250 years reserves now, and this is an example maybe of a statute that ought to be reconsidered by Congress, but that's not our role. But I don't understand why only decorative is pilot lights are prohibited. I can't find any explanation for that.
The explanation for that, Your Honor, is that In proceeding with this rule, DOE decided it wanted to regulate, initially, it wanted to regulate fireplace heaters, and it structured its entire proposed rule around regulation of fireplace heaters, for which it imposed heating efficiency standards. And if you look at DOE's technical analysis for how it justified the heating efficiency standards for fireplace heaters, it looked at the existing information about published annual fuel utilization efficiency numbers advertised for these types of products, and determined that with the standard that they were going to impose, there would be a slight bump in required efficiencies that most products, most, and again, the products they were looking at, most fireplace heaters could achieve by eliminating standing pilot lights. Mm. And so when they decided to sweep in decorative products, first they said, well, we don't want you to have decorative products over a low input limit that would essentially wipe out the category. Recognizing that was not a good idea, they went back and amended the rule and replaced the input limit with a provision banning standing pilot lights.
So in other words, for the heat, I mean, this is not obvious to me, but the idea is that fireplaces designed to heat in order to meet the efficiency standards will have to eliminate pilot lights.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay. I can see I've eaten up a lot of my time. I simply want to make the point that what DOE did in this...
You said three arguments. Did you get to the third one?
Yes. The third argument is that the rule structure is set up for the purpose of imposing design standards on decorative products. And it does this in the sort of backdoor way of subjecting these products to heating efficiency standards they can't possibly meet, and then giving them the life preserver of comply with these other requirements to survive. And the other requirements include initially the maximum energy input limit, now a ban on standing pilot lights. And those are design standards. They're designed to reduce the energy consumption of the products. In fact, the ban on standing pilot lights is a design standard that DOE imposed on other products in a rule it adopted in 2009. In that case, DOE was regulating products, certain kitchen appliances, for which design standards are authorized by statute. Mm. And DOE imposed a ban on standing pilot lights, virtually the same language, as a design standard that it justified as such. The problem with respect to decorative hearth products is DOE regulates these products on the theory that they're direct heating equipment. That's how it got regulatory authority over them. But design standards aren't authorized for direct heating equipment. In effect, DOE's asserting jurisdiction by calling them direct heating equipment in order to regulate them by a means that's not lawful for direct heating equipment. And that's one of the fundamental flaws with the entire rule structure of having standards that are imposed in a sort of backdoor way as conditions for exclusion without statutory authorization, without any effort to justify them as standards. And that's really what DOE's entire rule structure is designed to do. And I would submit that if DOE can use a regulatory definition to define a product as direct heating equipment, thereby circumventing the statutory provisions for how you regulate a new category of products, and then subject it to heating efficiencies without any justification at all.
You don't challenge anything in the 2011 rule. The only thing you're, aside from the global argument, the only thing you're complaining about is the pilot, not the the sign that says not designed for heating or whatever.
Yeah,
the other three you're not challenging, right?
Well, the different so-called criteria for exclusion are all sort of meaningless because if either DOE has authority to regulate these products as direct heating equipment or it does not, and I would assert that it does not.
But I thought your argument was that even if it did, that the requirement to eliminate pilot lights is a design standard, and they don't have authority to do that.
That's correct, too.
But you haven't challenged, on that basis, you haven't challenged the other three criteria for exclusion.
We haven't talked about them specifically. If the determination that these products are direct heating equipment is struck down, the entire rule structure should go. If the heating efficiency standards are struck down, the whole rule structure should go. They're the engine, the only engine that drives compliance. Okay. And because the whole rule structure was designed for the purpose of backdooring design standards onto these products, I would submit that since design standards aren't authorized, the whole concept of the regulatory approach is busted and should be vacated. Okay. So we didn't really talk about the other requirements because they're not really relevant.
Okay, just so I'm not confused. Your complaint with this abolition of the standing pilot light is not that it's technologically infeasible, but that it's a design requirement that they don't have any authority to make. You could do these decorative hearth heaters without a standing pilot light.
It's a little broader than that, Your Honor. They really didn't try to justify the pilot light ban as a standard. So there's the problem that the standard isn't authorized, but there's also the problem that they just didn't go through the exercise of defending the ban on standing pilot lights as a standard. In fact, in the rule adopting it, their response to the lack of statutory authorization point was, this isn't a standard. It's not a requirement. It's just voluntary. It's optional with the manufacturers.
Well, let me just ask you this. Can you build a decorative hearth heater without a standing pilot light?
There are in the market now products with and without standing pilot lights, both in the heater category and in the decorative fireplace category.
Okay. And you could operate the one theory might be that you're not going to use this thing for heating, so if the electricity goes out and you don't have a pilot light, then you can't turn the switch so it triggers the ignition, right? Well, if the electricity's out. But some of these have backup batteries, and more than that, I think if you turn it on and it doesn't fire, then you throw a match into it and it'll come on, right?
Not the safest procedure. And,
well, I know that.
And many of these products have sealed glass fronts on them,
uh-huh,
so that you wouldn't actually be able to light it.
But there was something I read that that prohibiting a pilot light in certain instances could cause safety problems.
Well, and that's the point to recognize, that a pilot light is not actually an ignition system. Yeah. It's a safety system.
Yeah.
The point of a standing pilot light is so that you don't have uncombusted gas coming out of the system and eventually ending up with an unwanted boom.
Yeah.
The pilot light was, has been the age-old answer to the question of how do you build these products safely.
Okay,
we'll give you a couple minutes in reply.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mr. Byron. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Thomas Byron from the Justice Department here on behalf of the government. I'd like to start by emphasizing really what I think is the key point here, and that is that the government fundamentally agrees with petitioners that decorative hearth products should not be subjected to energy conservation standards. And indeed, the rule under review does not subject them to energy conservation standards. Indeed, it doesn't subject them to any regulatory burden at all if they qualify under the four-factor exemption that's included in the definition. Now, the reason that the agency set out to regulate this area of the market in this way, I think is best understood by looking at the historical development of the market as set forth in petitioners' own briefs and in their comments in the record. What happened, as they tell it, and we don't disagree with this, what happened was in 1987, 25 years ago, when Congress passed a statute that's we call it the Appliance Statute, the Appliance Energy Conservation Act. At that time, they say there really wasn't a category, a separate category of what they call heater-rated fireplace products, hearth fireplace products. Instead, at the time, they say, all those products were just decorative. Now, in the intervening couple of decades, manufacturers started to sell products that looked a lot like those decorative products, but that they said were actually to perform heating functions as well as being aesthetically pleasing. And in fact, if you look at the proposed rule, the notice of proposed rulemaking, it cites to AHRI, which is the manufacturer's trade association, its own listing of products at the time of the proposed rule. And it noted that those products included under the room heater category, which direct heating equipment, of course, room heaters in the statute, fireplace heaters that were standalone units. And it included under the wall heater category those hearth fireplace units that were fireplace inserts. So the manufacturers...
Are the only type of fireplaces regulated by the current rule, the 2011 gas-fired?
Yes.
Because they're pellet-fired.
That's right, Your Honor. They're not regulated.
They're not regulated, and there's a simulated fire from electrical fireplaces. They're not covered either.
They're not, Your Honor. And this only covers vented gas hearth fireplaces.
It doesn't say gas, though, does it?
I think, Your Honor, it's clear that the vented requirement essentially incorporates that most of the electric products, I believe, are unvented, and that means they don't draw in outside air
for
combustion.
Ones are vented.
They have a flue. Yeah. For air to exit. I'm not very familiar with the pellet products, Your Honor. I do have a wood stove, but it's and it's similar, of course. All these things are designed, after all, to simulate a solid fuel or wood-burning fireplace.
What does direct mean?
Direct means, and this goes to Judge Henderson's question, too, I think. And let me be clear, Judge Randolph, when you're asking about direct, can you point me to the language, because I'm trying to remember which part of it you're thinking
statute.
Of. In the statute, direct heating equipment.
Yeah, what is the direct?
Right. So what Congress did in 1987 was it substituted the statutory phrase, direct heating equipment, for the earlier phrase from the 1978 APCA statutory language, which was home heating equipment other than furnaces, not including furnaces. And DOE had interpreted that to mean vented and unvented heating equipment. So it essentially, and DOE after that NACA 1987 amendment said, look, we think Congress meant to say the same thing, but just to be more succinct, essentially, and it referred to our regulatory interpretation. So the direct heating equipment distinguishes these products, which are essentially room heaters in most cases, space heaters, these products from furnaces. And this goes to Judge Henderson's question about ducting. And in fact, I think there may have been some confusion because the references to not including ducts distinguishes these space heaters from furnaces, from whole house furnaces, which send heated air by ductwork to different rooms of the house. These products are different. They are located in a room. They are sealed they're not open. These are not gas log sets. Let's be clear about that. These are sealed combustion chambers with a flame inside that simulate a fireplace, and they heat the space around them, like other room heaters or wall heaters that are less attractive. What happened historically, though, and I want to just emphasize this, is that the manufacturers recognized that their aesthetically pleasing products, also some of them at least, had heating functions, and that consumers were using them for that. Manufacturers began marketing them for that. They even started touting their energy efficiency qualities. And that's where we get to this idea about the ANSI standards, the Z2150 versus Z2188. Now, the manufacturers say that the distinction between those two standards should be the only relevant way of distinguishing between these products. Now, if you look at the record that discusses, and it's both in the Federal Register and it's in the comments, that discusses what those standards do, the only relevant difference between them is that Z2188 talks about heating efficiency. So it's up to the manufacturer. Otherwise, there's very broad similarities, as the agency found, between these two categories of products. So in order to identify which ones are proper subjects for energy conservation standards, the agency's regulatory authority, the agency here tried to find a way to draw an objective distinction between those that are just aesthetic or primarily aesthetic and those that also have this heating purpose. That's what petitioners asked us to do, and that's what we did. These four factors that are set out in the November 2011 rule are directly addressed to the need for those objective characteristics of the product, so that this case really comes down to the question, who gets to decide whether a product is deemed a heater and therefore subject to energy conservation standards or not? Petitioners argue that it should be up to the manufacturers alone to make that distinction by choosing which of the two ANSI standards they want to certify their product to. And they have that choice. But the agency pointed out that there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace, that there's a lot of overlap between these two categories. They're not rigidly distinct. There's not an objectively identifiable category like fireplace heaters, which is the term that they use in their brief. That's not a term that has meaning outside their brief. The agency had to find a way.
What distinguishes these two different categories of products? Is it the size of the flame that's produced? Is it the brickwork on the inside?
Not judgmental.
Is it one group has thermostats and the other doesn't?
That's one of the factors that the agency pointed to, but they also pointed out that the presence or absence of a thermostat is not always dispositive, because sometimes thermostats can be added later. That's why in the four-factor exception, the agency made clear that if you're marketing a product that is just for aesthetic purposes, you need to make that plain to consumers so that they know that they're not misled and that they don't go into a store thinking that a product that is by design inefficient, after all. I mean, that's one of the things they've told us, is that in order to make a pretty flame, to make this yellow flame instead of a blue flame, for example, they have to burn the fuel relatively inefficiently. Now, let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with that. And the agency has not sought in any way to prohibit or limit the authority of manufacturers to make those products and sell them. But the agency does want those manufacturers to be clear about what they are. If they're going to be aesthetic products, they need to tell people that. They need to make clear that they shouldn't have a thermostat. I mean, everybody understands, Judge Randolph. It seems indisputable, and they don't dispute it. And in fact, the fundamental key distinction between those ANSI standards, other than the fact that they test them for efficiency, is they can have a thermostat under Z2188, but not Z2150. So thermostats, it's clear, right? Everybody would agree that if it has a thermostat, there's at least some understanding that it might be used for heating purposes. You turn it up to get warmer, you turn it down to not get so warm. If it doesn't have a thermostat, and if it's clear that the warranty would be void if you add one, everybody will understand this is a decorative product, not a heater, right? Now,
if who adds one?
A consumer or an installer aftermarket.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there are examples now of products where you can add thermostats.
But this wouldn't stop that, though.
It wouldn't prohibit people from doing it, but it would make clear to them when they go shopping for a product whether the product is in this one category, which is just for aesthetic use, or is in another category where it's been subject to energy conservation standards. And remember, that's the regulatory burden. And it's made clear that it's for heating purposes. That's all the agency's trying to do here. There's nothing wrongful about that. Now, when the petitioners say today that the entire regulatory structure is infirm, I want to be clear about two things. First of all, their challenge to the regulation does not seek vacature of the entire regulatory structure. It's a little confusing, I agree, but it only seeks vacature of the standards as applied to what they call heater-rated products. Now, again, that's a reference, we believe, it's not clear from their brief, but we believe that's a reference to a manufacturer's unilateral subjective choice to certify to one ANSI standard over another. That's not the kind of objective distinction that consumers can rely upon or that the agency can use to identify which products are subject to energy conservation standards and which are not. There is no burden for products that are decorative They say that the agency has asserted its regulatory jurisdiction, but that doesn't impose a regulatory burden. In fact, I don't think they have standing to complain about the what this sort of ephemeral notion of regulatory jurisdiction assertion. What the agency did here was it saw a spectrum of products. Some of them are clearly heaters, although they're very pretty. Some of them go to great efforts to get rid of the heat so that you can have a bigger flame without suffering the burden of having all of that massive heat in the same room with you.
You say that a fireplace of the type you just described is designed to furnish warm air?
Judge Randolph, yes, is the short answer. But let me explain for a moment.
Even though the design is to not furnish warm air.
You know, Your Honor, let me be clear. It's designed to furnish warmed air because it gets the air around it hot. Now, it's also designed not to furnish all of its heat into the room.
As a matter of just pure English language, you know, I said to your colleague here that, you know, that's like saying a match is designed to furnish warm air.
I disagree.
It's not what
Judge
it's
Randolph.
Designed to do.
Let me go back.
It's designed to furnish a flame.
Let me make 2 points about that, Judge Randolph. First, these products have broad similarities in their design characteristics and their appearance. And for that reason, the agency sought this objective distinction between the two categories, which didn't exist before. Now, the question whether a product that everybody agrees is decorative is designed to furnish warmed air is really irrelevant because at the end of the day, the theoretical assertion of jurisdiction they complain about doesn't impose any burden. As long as it complies with the objective distinction.
The burden is eliminate pilot lights. The
burden well,
let's
is talk about,
put a sign on it that says this isn't designed to heat. And then the other burden is you void the warranty if you put a thermostat on the thing.
Right. So, Judge Randolph, let's talk about those characteristics, those four factors that the agency settled on. I mean, two of them, probably three of them really, are really indisputable. So the certification to Z2150 and not Z2188, and I'll point out as well that petitioners themselves have acknowledged the confusion in this area by saying that there are some products they consider decorative that they don't certify to Z2150, even though they call that the decorative ANSI standard. So there's clearly a need for clarification here, Judge Randolph. And the fact that clarification includes one thing that they themselves in their brief seem to suggest is what they would prefer, which is that certification choice, it can't be problematic. The absence of a thermostat goes along with that certification, because if you certify to Z2150, you can't have a thermostat. Okay. Now, the agency sought to clarify that not only should there not be a thermostat, but consumers should be clear. This is the kind of product that's you're not going to be able to use to turn up or down to warm your room. Okay. So the warranty provision goes along with that aspect. Now, talking about pilot lights.
I didn't think that's the way thermostats worked on these fireplaces. I thought it's off and on, not up and down.
Thermostats, no, Judge Randolph. Thermostats measure the air in the room,
right,
and it turns them on or off. Or up or down. It turns the product on or off.
You can turn the flame up on these things?
Well, some products you can, Your Honor, but that's not necessarily how the thermostat's going to work. It's not, after all, how the thermostat works in a furnace. Just like with a furnace, a thermostat in this context turns the flame on if the room gets cooler, turns the flame off if the room gets to a set temperature, right? That's how the thermostat works. So what it's doing, though, is it's using it as a space heater. If there's a thermostat. Everybody understands that. Now, pilot lights, like thermostats, are characteristic of products that both consumers and manufacturers intend to use for heating purposes. Now, let me repeat again that the agency has not sought to prohibit these dual uses. Everybody understands that these primarily aesthetic products also give off some heat. There's no example in the record, Judge Randolph, of a decorative product that gives off de minimis amounts of heat, like light bulbs, refrigerators, certainly like matches. I mean, that's really just rhetorical hyperbole, if I may continue, Judge Henderson, to try to address this concern. Thank you. The key point here is that some of the examples in the record, including by installers and manufacturers themselves, as well as by an independent testing lab, pointed out that some of these decorative products are used for emergency and backup heating. Again, nothing wrong with that. But where there is a pilot light, people may believe that this is a good source of emergency and backup heat, And the agency...
Because there's a pilot light?
Yes, Judge Randolph. And the example you gave, I think, demonstrates that. Pilot lights allow the use of the product when there's a power outage. If people believe, if consumers understand this product to be available in a power outage as a backup source of heat, there's going to be a continued confusion in the marketplace between whether they are primarily decorative or whether they're also for heating purposes.
That doesn't, I didn't find that in the rulemaking. Maybe it's there, but I don't recall it. But it doesn't turn on whether there's a pilot light. I mean, some of these things have electronic ignition systems without a pilot light.
Yes.
And some of these things, you know, like I said, you can turn them on and throw a match in there and it'll light up.
And Judge Randolph, well, throwing the match in, we should set aside, I think, there may be safety concerns for some of the products, maybe not for others. Certainly some products are match lit, others are not. Let me though, emphasize that it is in the record at JA 451, 452, 71847, and 71848.
Which volume is it?
There's only one volume of the Joint Appendix, Your Honor. This is the Federal Register notice of the November 2011 rule, and it discusses the comments concerning pilot lights. Those comments demonstrate what we explained in our brief at page 42 and 43 of our brief.
Okay.
Support this point about pilot lights and how they relate, just like thermostats do, to the heating function of these products. Now, what's going on here is not a regulatory ban. It's not a regulatory limitation in any way on these products. One of the HPBA comments talks about a decorative product that uses 90,000 BTUs per hour. That has not been prohibited under the current rule. Now, it was under the old rule, and petitioners pointed out to the agency they thought that was improper. The agency reasonably took those considerations into account and did this instead. Now, for that 90,000 BTU per hour unit, that's a big flame, right? They need to get rid of some of that excess heat so it doesn't go into the room, but nobody contends that that thing doesn't give off heat.
Are you referring to the statement in your brief on page 42, did you say?
42 and 43, Your Honor, yes.
And when you say pilot lights are characteristic of utilitarian heaters,
yes,
which consumers expect to be able to rely on for comfort and survival?
Yes, so in event of a power outage, for example.
Survival?
Yes. In order.
So DOE is encouraging them not to put pilot lights on there so they can't rely on it for survival.
For purely decorative products, Judge Randolph? That's right. They're not intended to be used as heaters. That's the whole point of this regulation. Even in an emergency. That's right. Now, they can be, and many of them are. So, for example, as you pointed out, there may be battery backups on some of these products. A lot of them do have that. There's nothing wrong with that. The point is the agency tried to find objective characteristics that it could point to distinguish these decorative products that shouldn't be subject to energy conservation standards and are not from those that should.
Follow up on that, because I'm finding this very confusing. You started out by saying the government agrees that decorative hearth products should not be subject to these standards.
Right.
And you said they are not, as long as they comply with the alternative. But I understood counsel to say that the alternative is itself a design standard.
That's
which is not authorized for direct heating equipment.
Right. Thank you, Judge Brown. I would like to address that point, if I may, Judge Henderson. This argument about a design standard is a red herring. This is not a design standard. The agency exercises its authority to promulgate design standards where it's authorized to do so, but it also exercises...
Do you agree with counsel that the agency is not authorized to promulgate design standards
yes.
for direct heating?
Yes, and it has not, Judge Brown.
And these decorative hearth heaters, whatever they are, mm-hmm. that they're complaining should not be covered, you're saying those are direct heating equipment? Position, right?
As a theoretical matter, at the very broadest sort of effort to identify the category of products that are at issue here, yes, they are direct heating equipment, because without making that clear at the outset, the agency would not have the ability to draw the objective line to distinguish one from the other.
So counsel is correct, right? The way that you've exercised your jurisdiction. In other words, the way that you've made them covered under this provision is to say that they are direct heating equipment. So he's right about that.
Well, no, Judge Brown, because covered products under this statute are products that have standards that apply to them. So here, there are no standards that apply if your decorative hearth product, and we'll just use that term because they don't like me to call them heaters, if your decorative hearth product satisfies the objective characteristics the agency has identified for decorative products. There's no standards that apply to them.
But one of those exemptions, right, is that you don't have a standing pilot light.
That's right, Judge.
Otherwise, you do have to comply.
Yes, that's right. But there's nothing wrong with setting out in a definition of products that do have standards that apply to them and therefore that are covered products subject to a regulatory burden, and within that, an exception for those that are not subject to the regulatory burden and don't have to comply with standards of that kind of
limits. The statute imposes limits on the government.
Yes.
About what it can regulate and what it can't regulate. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, there's no harm in this. I mean, it's easy to comply with, but that's not the question. The question is, do you have the authority? And you've got the number one, you have a statute that says direct heating equipment.
Yes.
And you have a regulation that says it has to be designed to furnish warm air.
Yes.
But under your theory, it doesn't matter whether it's designed to furnish warm air. As long as there's a flame and it looks like a fireplace, we're going to regulate it. Isn't that?
Judge Randolph, if I may just try to address that, because I think it does reflect the problem that the agency faced here, which is that there are very similar products. In fact, the agency looked at the products themselves and talked to the manufacturers, interviewed them, concluded that these products have very broadly similar design characteristics. They're made on the same production lines. In the end, a lot of this choice about whether to deem them heater rated in the language of the brief comes down to a manufacturer's choice about which ANSI standard to use. Now, that means that they are so similar that, yes, they are all heaters, Judge Randolph, and let me be clear about that. These are heaters. Now, some of them are very inefficient heaters, and they vent a lot of their heat outside the room. But that doesn't mean they're not designed to furnish warmed air. They heat the air around them in the room just like any other space heater. Now, the fact that they may heat less of the air around them in the room than some other similar products just means they're not very efficient. And again, we haven't prohibited these products from the market. They're not banned or limited in any way, as long as they comply with these objective criteria that identify them as decorative. That is not in excess of the agency's authority.
Yeah, if they're so similar, then why is it that at least the industry says that the decorative fireplaces could never meet the efficiency standards that you're applying to the heating products?
Judge Randolph, we talked a little bit about that before, so let me elaborate, if I may. One of the things they pointed to is that in order to create an attractive flame design, for example, including a yellow flame instead of a blue flame, they necessarily have to burn the fuel less efficiently. Okay, so in order to create these more attractive products that have the aesthetic characteristics, and remember, all of the products across this spectrum, including those that are in what we're now trying to create as two separate categories, but really there's just a big spectrum here. All of these products have those aesthetic characteristics, some more than others, and some can be brought to the minimal levels of efficiency that are set forth in here for these what they call heater-rated products, ANSI Z2188 products. And so the point, though, is they want to retain, and the agency absolutely agreed and permitted them to do so, they wanted to retain the ability to create less efficient products for the ambiance, the aesthetic value, that is caused by that less efficient design, and that's been permitted. But you don't get to do that cost free, and at the same time create confusion in the marketplace about whether it's a good heater or not. That's all that this regulation is designed to address, and it does so reasonably with a lot of support in the record. It's cited in our brief, and it's in the joint appendix. I'd be happy to talk about any of the references in the record if the court wants to. The more than half of the products that are out there now, the decorative products, already exist without a pilot light. This is merely a recognition that this category is already moved in that direction, and that this is further clarification.
When you say that these products are not being subjected to any standard, are you saying that because in your view it's voluntary whether they do this or not?
No, Your Honor. When I say they're not subjected to a standard, I mean they're not subjected to an energy conservation standard. They don't have to meet the standards of fuel efficiency that are set forth in the 2010 rule. Now, the petitioners argue here that the definitional exception, one of those four factors concerning pilot lights, should be read to as if it were a standard, an energy conservation standard, but it's not. The agency has the authority to define the scope of covered products subject to energy conservation standards. It did that here in a way that's reasonable, supported by the record, and not prohibited by the statute. And remember, they're not arguing, after all, that the absence of hearth products from the statutory example of standards in 1987, when, after all, they say that these products just didn't exist, the heater-rated ones, they're not arguing that that absence precludes absolutely the category of hearth, vented hearth heaters. In fact, that category, after all, was created at the behest of manufacturers themselves. The agency in the framework document set out to regulate this category of heaters as either room heaters or wall heaters, the categories that were in the statute. The manufacturers are the ones who said, no, we want a separate definition. The agency agreed in the proposed rule.
Can you tell me, just in a nutshell, what the purpose of eliminating pilot lights on decorative fireplace, what purpose does that serve?
Sure, Judge Randolph. It serves the purpose of each of the other three factors in the test as well, which is to clarify both to regulators and to the consumer whether a product is intended for heating purposes. And it may do that imperfectly. Look, there are lots of regs that could be better or more finely targeted. But
what percentage of clearly of clear heating fireplaces that have electronic ignition systems without a pilot light?
Well, again, Judge Randolph, I think there really was no clear standard for differentiating heating ones from decorative ones before this. So all I can say is that the record does support that more than half of these decorative products, which may include some overlap historically because we didn't know what they were at the time, but more than half of those decorative products do not have a pilot.
Did DOE take a consumer survey and determine on the basis of a survey that anybody that buys one of these things and sees a pilot light is going to think it's for heating, even if it's not marketed?
No, Judge Randolph, but there was no obligation to do that. What it did do was it reviewed the comments in the record. Those comments, including comments of both users, sellers, manufacturers, and independent testing labs, all demonstrated that some of these characteristics, including both pilot lights and thermostats, are representative of products that people actually do use for heating purposes, supplemental or backup heating, of course. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but we want to have a clear distinction that's based on objective characteristics. That's what this is about, and it's not an exercise of the agency's actual regulatory authority to subject them to energy conservation standards. That's all that the agency was trying to do, was clarify which are subject to those standards and which are not. And it did so here reasonably, we believe. There was one other point, if I may, Judge Randolph. You had raised the concern about safety, about pilot lights. And I want to just note that those concerns in the record, in the joint appendix and throughout the record, relate to gas log sets because those are not enclosed in a box. They go and sit in a fireplace, after all. So those are the safety concerns there about pilot lights. I don't think there's any evidence in the record about safety concerns about pilot lights within these enclosed products, which is all we're talking about here, these fireplace products.
I thought all decorative fireplaces had logs. That's not true.
Well, they all have ceramic logs in them.
Right.
But when we talk about gas log sets, and maybe I should just make clear that, again, in the November 2011 rule, the agency clarified that its understanding, its interpretation of its regulatory language about what is designed to furnish warmed air mean, encompasses, by necessity, these gas log sets that stand alone. They're not enclosed. They sit in the fireplace. And they do have, Judge Henderson, they do have a gas feed into them.
Yeah.
And some of them do have matchlit, ignition. That's how you ignite them, with a match. Some of them have electronic ignition, although fewer of them than in the enclosed products, the fireplace products. Some of them have pilot lights. And some of those safety concerns, Judge Randolph, were raised with respect to those products. Now, the agency said, if you have a gas log set, you're not subject to the energy conservation standards. There's no burden at all for those products. And the inclusion of them in the brief appears to be solely for rhetorical purposes.
Yeah, I don't think you meant what you just said.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
If you have a fireplace with a gas log set, you're not subject to any of the requirements.
That's right, Your Honor.
The log set is not subject to it, but the fireplace is.
Well, Judge Randolph, I'm sorry if I was unclear about this. When we talk about these hearth fireplace products, they are actually standalone, or some of them are fireplace inserts. So if you have a fireplace in your home, a brick fireplace, right, with a chimney and a flue and everything, you can buy a product that's enclosed. They call that a fireplace insert. It slides in. It has to be installed professionally because it has to have vents. It has to have a flue exhaust the products of the ignition, for example. But it actually is enclosed, and you can't just open the door and light it with a match. Okay, these gas log sets that we're talking about now, they're very different. They are just they just sit in your existing fireplace, right? But that's a different kind of product. It's actually
This is helpful to me. If you have a log, if there's a log set in an open, a lot of people convert to gas from wood burning fireplaces, and they get a log set. They run the gas line in there, and it vents out the chimney. Right. That's not covered at all here.
Now, what the agency said is that that product, although it is technically within the definition of a vented hearth heater, is not subject to energy conservation standards. That's right. Just categorically, it's not.
Huh.
There's no burden at all for those manufacturers.
Okay.
That's right. And that's what's going on here, Your Honor. They make a lot of arguments about the burden on them of being sort of theoretically within the regulatory definition as a broad matter, but they actually don't suffer any injury, I think, even for standing purposes, because they don't have to do anything for gas log sets. Now, let me just address, if I may, this injury question with respect to the fireplace, hearth fireplace products that they're principally concerned about. And these are the standalone products, right, that look like a wood stove, except they're fired by gas, or they're the fireplace inserts, right, that are, again, enclosed, sealed, have to be installed by a professional, and they serve the same function, originally wall heater, room heater kind of thing. These products are not subject to energy conservation standards as long as they qualify with these four factors. So they do have standing, indisputably, to challenge whether the agency got those four factors right, and we've talked about some of that today. What they don't have standing to argue is that by including them within this broad definition for purposes of drawing a clear, objective line, to clarify that distinction between the two categories, that they're somehow subject to some other abstract burden. It's not true. They talk a lot about whether the agency should instead have tried to initiate a separate covered product rulemaking. The agency didn't need to do that because we're not covering these products. We're not saying they have to abide by the energy conservation standards. And they've also suggested that if later DOE seeks to change the scope of the exception for these decorative products, that they'll be subject to some burden, that they won't be able to raise their statutory arguments. Not true, Your Honor. This is not a question about an obligation on them now to challenge the statute or forever lose this regulation or forever lose the opportunity to do so. If the agency later says, you know what, we want you not just to get rid of pilot lights, but to get rid of glass doors too, so that, you know, you have to have a glass door for one thing but not for the other, whatever. At that point, they can say, wait. The statute doesn't allow the agency to subject products with or without glass doors, whatever it would be, to energy conservation standards. That argument would be open to them. So this is not about some sneaky way the government is trying to get around some other mechanism to regulate these products. We're not regulating these products.
Could the agency have done this under A20?
Under which?
The new covered product. In other words, these regulated these same.
I guess it's sort of, it seems to me, Judge Brown, an odd question, because the agency hasn't sought to regulate these products.
So, saying, you know, and you keep saying that you're not regulating them.
Right.
And I asked you before,
yes,
is that because you're saying that it's voluntary, and you keep saying no?
Well, it is voluntary. It's not relevant whether it's voluntary or not. It's a question of how do you identify which products are heaters and subject to energy conservation standards and which products are not. I guess you can say it's voluntary because manufacturers can choose what kind of product to make. And, yes, it's voluntary in that sense, certainly. But, Judge Brown, when the agency set out to establish energy conservation standards for these vented hearth fireplace heaters, which is the term they like to use, it did so.
Let me just ask then, if this product does not come within the exemptions, the four characteristics that you set out, then it would be,
yes,
I assume, covered by a standard.
Right? Yes, it is subject to the standard.
Okay.
Right.
So if it's either or, if you have to do one or the other, it seems to me that it's covered. That's the part of your argument I'm not understanding.
Well, let me just back up for a minute and point to the alternative that petitioners prefer, and that is that a manufacturer can certify to Z2150 for decorative products or Z2188 for heater products, okay? So one of the characteristics in the four-factor test is which ANSI standard did you use? Now, if they've certified Z2188, which is the one for heaters, we know already they're allowed to have a thermostat, so that covers one of our examples, right? We know as well that they have to test for energy efficiency, so it makes sense to subject them to standards, okay? All these things make sense, and they all line up. Now, the thing they, as Judge Randolph, I think you pointed out, the only thing they really complain about is the pilot light, okay? Now, the agency made a reasonable judgment that pilot lights share some of these characteristics of thermostats and of marketing materials because there's this confusion in the marketplace. That judgment on the basis of this record was not arbitrary or capricious. That's what it comes down to, Judge Brown. It sort of really doesn't matter whether you call it voluntary or not. What it comes down to is, did the agency make a reasoned judgment based on the record about how to draw a line here to exercise its regulatory authority? And we think it did.
Why did it leave off gas logs?
What happened was the agency pointed out that its definition actually encompasses them. And after the 2010,
it simulates a solid fuel fireplace.
Yes, right.
It is designed to furnish warm air.
Yes.
It is, from what I understand, inefficient.
Yes.
And so why are you carving out that huge?
We're carving it out now because the manufacturers of those products pointed out to the agency in the course of the 2011 rulemaking that there's actually a lot of complexity in that market that's different from the regulatory considerations the agency was aware of for these hearth fireplace products, which are actually the ones that are enclosed. And one of them, for example, is that there are different standards, not just the ANSI standards, but including, for example, California standards, area region-specific standards that may gas log manufacturers may certify to. So the agency has to look again at that. It may revisit the question eventually and try to identify which of them are intended to be heaters, if any. We're not sure any of them are at this point. We just need to do more work on it, and that's what they said.
Wait a minute. You say that designed to furnish warm air means it does furnish warm air.
Right. It actually heats the room.
Okay.
To some
so
extent.
The gas logs,
yes,
would come under this definition.
Yes.
Because they give off warm air even though it's minimal or it's inefficient and so forth.
Right. And remember, the agency isn't trying to ban inefficient decorative products. All we're trying to do is clarify which products are in that category and which ones are actually understood and marketed to be heaters. Nobody believes, and including the agency, nobody believes that these gas fog sets, the things that are not enclosed, that you stick in your fireplace and you have installed with a gas line coming into them, nobody believes those are actually intended to be used for heaters, although there is evidence in the record that they can supply emergency backup heat. One seller, a retailer of these products said, you know, it kept people alive when we had an ice storm. So there's no doubt they do supply heat, but the agency said,
how can you say that nobody believes that they supply heat, and at the same time say that people think these vented ones that stand alone do?
There's no doubt all of them do. Gas log sets, the things that are not enclosed, as well as these hearth products that are enclosed, they all do supply heat. The agency tried to identify which ones are being marketed And remember, this is that market evolution over 25 years. The agency tried to identify which ones are understood by manufacturers and consumers as being purposefully purchased for, manufactured for, designed to be used as heaters in addition to being pretty. Now, all of them can be, including the ones that are carved out by the exceptions, both for log sets and for the four factors. All of them can be. That's understood. That actually supports the agency's overall conclusion that we have to draw some distinction here, because nobody wants to subject them all to energy conservation standards. Petitioners don't want that. The agency doesn't want that. That would change the market. We're not trying to do that. So that's why they undertook this November 2011 rule. Manufacturers pointed out the April 2010 rule didn't accomplish that goal. So we try to address those concerns. So we do try to carve out from the energy conservation standards those products that are decorative, principally decorative, even if they can give off some heat. That's what's going on here.
Well, it sounds like the only thing that isn't covered are these, whatever they used to be, TV screens that had fires going.
Well, Judge Henderson, it's a good question whether those are equally aesthetically pleasing, I suppose.
Doesn't the screen get hot? Maybe.
Well, not with an LCD new flat screen TVs, I guess, Your Honor. But the point here is that whether they're covered or not is sort of only a theoretical question. The real question is, for covered products, are they subject to energy conservation standards? Those are the products that don't satisfy the exceptions. They're not gas log sets, and they don't satisfy the four factors here. For those products, they're the ones they're already marketing as heaters. And the agency reasonably addressed that and tried to identify those by these objective characteristics as a way of ensuring that the energy conservation purposes of the statute were advanced and not rely solely on the subjective decision of a manufacturer to certify to one standard or another when they have a choice. So with that, Your Honor, we'd urge the court to deny the petitions for review. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Mr. Day has no time. Right? Why don't you take what time you need to answer any questions we have and respond in a short
sorry?
Time to your colleague.
I'm sorry, Judge Henderson, I didn't
I'd like you to, you're out of time, but I'd like to answer any questions we have and respond in as short a period as you can to anything you want to that your colleague has said. But he's been there for, I think, another 30 minutes in addition to the 15, so.
Yes. Well, if you could give me just a minute, I obviously can't respond to everything that I'd like to, but right. There are some major overarching points. Obviously, agencies often profess great difficulty in drawing jurisdictional lines. In fact, I would submit that there is nothing as hard for an agency to perceive as the limits of its own jurisdiction. It is well established under Michigan versus EPA that agencies can't fail to draw a jurisdictional line. Otherwise, as this court has said, they would effectively have a blank check to expand their own jurisdiction, which is exactly what DOE did in this case. The government just argued about all sorts of need to distinguish and distinctions. There are no distinctions. DOE defined every single hearth product, vented gas hearth product, as direct heating equipment, covered product under the statute.
Even if it has a log set?
Yes.
So you don't agree?
They defined log sets as direct heating equipment.
So if I have a fireplace and I have a log set in it and it's open and it's gas, you know, gas flame, that's covered.
Well, let me make the distinction, because this is where we get into the confusion. DOE has set up here a Scylla and Charybdis regulatory scheme. Manufacturers have no choice. They comply with heating efficiency standards they can't possibly satisfy, or they comply with alternative requirements imposed as conditions for exclusion from the heating efficiency standards. Presently, DOE has conditions on the exclusion for vented gas fireplaces. So decorative fireplaces are subject to active substantive regulation under the rules as they now exist. Under the rules as they now exist, gas log sets are defined as direct heating equipment and therefore covered products under the statute. They are definitionally subject to, they are defined as vented hearth heaters, and there are energy efficiency standards in the form of heating efficiency standards applicable to vented hearth heaters. So they're definitionally subject. Now, the only thing that's happened is Scylla hasn't showed up yet, just for log sets. But log sets really are, they're a bit of a distraction because the statutory arguments are the same, and DOE lacks the authority to regulate these products. The lack of justification, the point is they never justified heating efficiency standards for anything other than fireplace heaters. So there's no excuse to have heating efficiency standards out there lurking that are definitionally subject to anything else. And that's exactly what we have, and why we've specifically asked that the heating efficiency standards be vacated to the scope of the at least the justification that was offered for them, which is fireplace heaters.
I'm just missing it, but I thought that counsel for the Energy Department said that if you have a fireplace, it's open, it's got a log set in there, and it's gas-fired, that's not subject to either the A regulation or what you're calling the B regulation. It's just not covered at all.
That's not accurate. There are, I believe what counsel was referring to is log sets, and that's the situation I just described. They're definitionally subject, but there is an unconditioned exclusion for them presently. Okay, that's log sets. Now, there are decorative gas fireplaces that are functionally the same as log sets. I mentioned before that most have a glass pane or ceramic pane on the front. You can't open them up. Most is not all. There's a population of decorative fireplaces out there that are just the same in that respect as log sets. The main point I wanted to make is that DOE didn't draw any distinctions. DOE defined all these products as direct heating equipment. So from a statutory standpoint, that's the issue. It either has the authority to regulate all these products or it doesn't. Now, DOE has said that the distinctions are difficult to draw. Well, on the top of page 8 of our brief, you can see how these products have been identified in the market for years and years outside the Sturm and Drang of rulemaking and litigation. And the product differentiation is pretty clear and obvious. There's been one thing lacking up to this point. And that is heating efficiency standards, because when the statutory provisions at issue were passed, decorative hearth products existed. They could have been identified as direct heating equipment. They were not, as a matter of historical fact, because they're not heaters. But the point is that when a heater version of a vented gas fireplace developed and came into the market, one of the issues was, well, how do we sell these things? And how are they going to be regulated in the future? And those ended up being the same question and the same answer, which is a separate ANSI standard, the Z2188 standard for fireplace heaters, was developed specifically so you could have a standard. If you're going to sell a fireplace as a heater, you certify it as a heater. And that's what the Z2188 standard is. That anticipated.
Tell me again. I looked this up because I didn't. What is ANSI again?
It's the standards organization.
It's an independent.
Yeah.
It's not a government body, is it?
Well, DOE participated in the development of these standards, but it's a non-governmental organization It's the American Industrial Standards Institute, I think, is what the acronym is for. And they have specific ANSI categories. In fact, the direct heating equipment categories all corresponded to specific ANSI standards. And there was a different ANSI standard for decorative fireplaces, subsequently a different ANSI standard for fireplace heaters. So differentiation is frankly drop dead easy once heating efficiency standards are on the books. You either have a product that's certified as a heater, in which case it obviously has to meet the heater standards, or you have products that are not certified as heaters, don't meet the heating efficiency standards, and can't be sold as such. So it's a pretty straightforward objective distinction. What is not a distinction is pilot lights. Any suggestion that there's some relevance of pilot lights to whether a product is a heater or not is not well taken. DOE did not, if you look at the rule, read the preamble of the final rule imposing the pilot light restriction. It's all about how much gas it's going to save. The requirement itself, as I indicated previously, is a design standard DOE imposed as such on other products. The record shows that there's 38% of all decorative fireplaces out there have pilot lights. If DOE didn't think decorative products had pilot lights, it wouldn't be trying to ban them. This is strictly about DOE imposing a design standard. And the idea that, you know, it has set up this Scylla and Charybdis regulatory scheme and there's no regulatory burdens imposed, well, I'm sorry, there are affidavits in the record on that. Just the labeling requirements alone for decorative products amount to thousands and thousands of dollars.
Can I ask you about the diagram on page 8? Because this is your diagram, right?
It's in the record.
Okay,
but it was taken out of a publication in the public domain.
By DOE, or
it was put in the record by DOE. It's taken from a Hearth, Patio, and Barbecue Association publication, just a general informational thing for the public about what these products are.
Then why are you not arguing, and maybe you are, that if DOE has sanctioned this chart and defined gas log sets as being decorative, then they, according to DOE, are designed to furnish warm air, and yet they're defined by DOE as decorative. Why are you not arguing that's inconsistent with what they're calling the non-gas log sets, that is, the vented hearth heaters, non-decorative because they also furnish warm air?
Well, according to DOE, there's no such thing as a purely decorative product from a definitional standpoint. I mean, their definition is just a definitional ipsy-dixit. If it's got a flame, it's direct heating equipment. It's a vented hearth heater. It's designed to furnish warmed air, even if it doesn't furnish warmed air, and even if it's not designed in plain English to furnish warmed air.
Let me ask you, if the Energy Department changed its phraseology, or at least interpreted either the statute and the regulation or both, instead of talking about the manufacturer's purposes and so on, and changes to say can be used for heating, would that cover decorative fireplaces?
Well, we cover ovens, kitchen ovens. I guess if you want to envision,
but kitchen ovens don't look like a fireplace, at least the ones I've seen.
Are you asking about DOE's statutory interpretation?
Right.
DOE's statutory interpretation is that if it has a flame and it's a hearth product, it's covered.
Are there decorative fireplaces that cannot be used in an emergency for heating?
Well, in an emergency, you can use anything that generates any amount of warmth for heating. The question, one of the issues under the statute is that the statute defines direct heating equipment through its energy conservation efficiency descriptor for these products as strictly utilitarian heating appliances. And you go down the list of every product identified in the statute as direct heating equipment, and they're all strictly utilitarian heating appliances.
If you're using the fireplace for heating, you're using a lot more natural gas, I would assume, than if it's just for the flame itself, flickering little flame in the bottom. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. The use patterns for decorative products, we're talking about products that are used on average about 40 hours a year.
Right.
For heating appliances, for a real heating appliance that's used in response to heating needs, you turn it on when the, you know, as if it's operating on a thermostat.
Even when
you're looking at, you know, over
sleeping,
I think it's 1,400 hours per year of use.
I mean, even while people are sleeping, I guess they
Yeah, and obviously decorative fireplaces you turn on when you're in the room to enjoy it, and that's really what they're about. And DOE recognizes that there are purely decorative products. If you look at the 2010 rule at 75 Federal Reg 20128-29, you know, they talk about these products as being, quote, purely decorative, quote, little or no heat output. That's what they said then.
Okay. Let's wind it up, if you would, please.
Again, I think that the situation here is quite clear. We've got an agency that defined decorative hearth products as direct heating equipment in order to circumvent express statutory constraints on its authority to regulate products by rule that EPCA did not subject to regulation by statute. It then subjected these products to heating efficiency standards without any of the procedure or justification EPCA requires, and it did so to backdoor design standards that aren't even lawful for direct heating equipment, and that to boot, it never attempted to justify a standard.
I just have one final question. Suppose we agree with you. What's the remedy?
The remedy we've requested is that the rule structure be vacated as to vented hearth heaters other than fireplace heaters. And the only reason that we've asked for the relief that way is because, as a policy matter, our guys support heating efficiency standards for products that are being represented to the public as certified heater products that are the functional equivalent of space heater products.
So, in other words, you're asking us to define what a heating product is.
Well, we're asking for relief that this court has granted in other cases, where we are asking for the relief to be to conform the applicability of the heating efficiency standards to the range of products for which there was at least a justification offered. As this court said less than a year ago, it would be lamely deferential to uphold standards to products to circumstances as to which they clearly were not justified. So that's why we've asked for the relief that way. What is needed and what is warranted is to have the entire rule structure vacated as it applies to decorative hearth products.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.